He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Tuesday morning, everyone. This is a January 26th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Bill today. And Bill, that familiar voice should be back here in the studio tomorrow. And as usual, also give me all the help I can get is Paul Carlson, our bond portfolio manager and investment advisor here at Gunderson Capital. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Oh, doing great, doing great. How was how was your Monday? Probably came into some things you were catching up on, if I can imagine.
Very busy as usual. But
yep.
It's good.
Yeah, like to start fast out of the gate during the week. So we'll play catch up from there, right? What a wild ride we had yesterday, huh?
That volatility, sure.
Yeah, I know. The S&P and NASDAQ were positive when we signed off yesterday, and not 5 minutes later, Bill shoots us the text. What'd you guys do to the market? It's I think we were up about 1% or so in the NASDAQ when he sends that text about 5-7 minutes later. I look over and I think this thing is a down one. And I'm like, well, how did that? That was fast. Well. I think the market's starting to realize that the stimulus package isn't just going to be a
lift.
Yeah, push it on through, mm-hmm. Right? There's going to be some political wrangling, which you have a $1.9 trillion bill. We do have the need for speed in terms of there's folks out there that need to get this as soon as possible, but. It's a big bill, and you're looking at future debt loads of America. So I guess it's something worth debating and doing some horse trading over, I guess.
Yeah, I was just reading about how the poverty rate has been increasing dramatically, not seen since the '60s.
Yeah,
so that's a little bit disconcerting.
Well, and coming off of numbers, of course, looking at economic numbers is always hard to look in terms of government reports, but we had a. I think we had the poverty rate at the lowest, right?
Before COVID.
During part of Trump's presidency. So, it's one of those things that can certainly change on a dime, just like the market and the market did in March, and then back the other way in April. So, another main reason why we want to stay goal is to be unconstrained and. From an investment thesis standpoint, so we can, gives you that bit of flexibility that, in this type of market, I think is required. So,
yes, that's right. I mean, because, if you look at it from an individual stock perspective rather than stock market, that's really the key.
Yeah. And then, if we consider, volatility wise, right, what happened yesterday, well, that's kind of the kiddie roller coaster, if you will, versus GameStop. What happened with GameStop yesterday? That's I guess the X Games version of adrenaline junkie version of a roller coaster for them. It came with a full loop yesterday as well, right? I think when we were on the air yesterday, they were up. I think at one point
over 150%.
Yeah, it got to about 150 at one point. Then actually went negative. Right. And then finished up. You sent the number out at the end of the day. Was it up 14?
Something like that. And then it's up another 12 today at 89.
Yeah. And so it was finished up double digits. So we were, up triple digits, back down to negative, and then, up double digits. Just a wild ride and a phenomenon to that. And we'll get. Later on in the show, we'll kind of dive into, kind of the inner workings of that, what's driving it, is it on the cusp of, market manipulation to a certain extent? There's just a lot of different factors involved, and then part of it's the change in technology, right? We've benefited a lot of the names that we own from changes in technology. And, you know, in this instance, you know, it's a blend of social media, a blend of, you know, friction-free trading without any, you know, no longer any, a lot of, you know, any types of commissions, you know, from a retail standpoint. So there's a lot more things that can be on the table in terms of making trades or being.
Well, that's true, but ultimately, you know, it's a short squeeze because you had basically every share outstanding was shorted. So that's kind of where it ends up.
Yeah, and then it's ganging up on that other side, right? Where social media, right? Gathering capital on one side to take down the capital on the other side. So it's a very, very interesting situation. You know, something that you kind of don't want to be caught up in. You know, on either side.
On either side, right?
Yeah, you just kind of. Well, we just be spectators and watch from afar, right? And
exactly.
And kind of a blow by blow. And today, it's kind of like you said, it's kind of going back. Roughly about 12%, I think, the last time we checked, but. In terms of overall, it ended up being a positive day for the market. Of course, we've got a lot of as we featured, we have a
earnings,
tons and tons of earnings this week, right? This morning we had four Dow components already report. We've got Microsoft, another Dow component reporting this evening or after the close. AMD, another our biggest holding here. At the firm, reports after the close today too. So we've got some good information so far, and then we've got some names that I'm excited about seeing on the back end. I know I'm kind of interested to see what the comments are in terms of the report for Microsoft because with a 14, three boys between 14 and 6, and I need some feedback on when this Xbox Series X is going to be available. So hopefully there's an analyst question or two along those lines. And with AMD making that chip, hopefully there'll be a question or two about that on the AMD call too. So I'll look forward to listening to that call. But what's going on?
Yeah, and then we've got Apple on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah. We've got some big ones coming up. Tomorrow, Apple being the huge one, one of your favorites, Tesla as well. I think they're reporting tomorrow. So yeah, we'll look at some of those numbers in terms of the Dow reporting. But do you have you want to go ahead and give us some numbers around the in terms of around the globe how the rest of the world's fared?
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Far?
Yeah, over in Asia, Japan was down 1% overnight. Hong Kong down 2.6%. China down 1.5%. India was closed for a holiday. In Europe, London up 1%, Paris up 1.5%, Frankfurt up 2%. And we've got the 10-year at 105 now. So that's come down a little bit, that yield.
Yeah, I think that's part of the stimulus. I know I saw where Asia's markets were kind of in flux just because of the U.S. stimulus maybe not happening as quickly or maybe not as much or both. Europe kind of turned around a little bit. So we have some earnings news that came out today. So that's for some of their larger companies. So they're getting a bump from the earnings front from that perspective. But, Bitcoin, talking about the treasury yields, but, Bitcoin has just had a it was something we kept getting a lot of questions about, right, at the firm, kind of one-off questions in terms of Bitcoin. And, the primary, as we were saying, the primary, reason, at least that would kind of knock it from where it was is just, it's going to be some form of regulation. And, Yellen coming out with some comments during her hearing and actually confirmed yesterday, I believe, So those comments have kind of put a ceiling on how high it could go
on the cryptos for now.
And so they're kind of settling back into a that trading range right around between 30,000-35,000 lately. So we'll see if it dips back below 30 again. It's kind of where I think it's building some support at. But as we know, any these things can move fast. So. I don't know if there's any real support level at this point for some of those names.
Right. Hey, so as far as the domestic markets, you want me to go over that?
Yeah, yeah. Let's get a quick update where we're at, and then we'll preview the next segment.
Okay, so the S&P 500, we're down 1 point, 3,854 after a record high yesterday. The Dow 30 is up 24 points at 30,983. NASDAQ up 7 at 13,643. The small cap Russell 2000 index is up 9, 2172. And, you know, we'll go over the rest after the break.
Yep. We'll hit some of those four Dow components that reported this morning, and looking forward to second segment. See you soon. Welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I'm your host, Barry Kipe, and on the line we have our bond portfolio manager, Paul Carlson, and my co-host here. How we doing, sir?
All right. Pretty good.
Yeah, market's looking pretty flat at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything in here looks like it's within about 0.2%. In terms of the
wrapped
U.S.
around
markets.
Unchanged, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like the kind of taming of the cobra, I guess, at the moment. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully they keep playing the music. And in regards to kind of where we're at, we've got a lot of news from an earnings perspective. So we'll kind of go ahead and dive into a little bit of that. And then also we've got some good news from the economic front, I think. That looked like some pretty good numbers to me, right?
Yep.
So we'll
agree.
Yeah, we'll hit those in terms of some of the so we had four Dow components reporting this morning. Some of the primary names we'll kind of go through. They had Johnson & Johnson reported, Verizon, American Express, 3M. And then, as we mentioned, we have Microsoft that we own, and that's going to be reporting after the hours today. So to kind of, all the earnings reports, look pretty positive. It doesn't, of course, it doesn't mean they reacted that way in terms of their current stock prices. But, Johnson & Johnson, their revenues were up 8.3%. They beat analyst expectations. They're also actually looks like they're raising their guidance to about 90 billion, right about 91 billion on average for 2021. Consensus was roughly around 88.5. So that's a good that's a good look there. Earnings, they're shooting between a 940 and 960 range. Consensus is about $9. So, upward guidance there. I'll be interested to see some of the comments in terms of, I'm sure they will in their transcript, in terms of some of the comments along the vaccination line to see, because that's kind of the next big one to drop that we're waiting on in terms of, that should increase the large amount of supply for the COVID-19 vaccine.
Yes, that would be helpful.
I'm not sure how much if that information is dictated based on their quarterly call. My guess is when that information comes, they report it. So not sure how much insight we'll get, but hopefully we get some. In terms of Verizon, right? So some of the think of the 5G revolution that we've kind of been a big piece of our investment thesis and some detailing that we've done in the Seeking Alpha articles. Their revenue was flat, and as you can expect, business revenue was relatively flat. Consumer side was revenue, you know, relatively flat. So there wasn't a huge amount of sales cycle in 2020. Of course, the iPhone was delayed, right, and the 12 didn't come out until later in the year. So I would expect, you know, on a go-forward basis, you know, they beat on revenue and on earnings about 4 cents. But they're looks like they're bumping up some of their forecast and consensus too. So that's good news, you know, from that perspective. American Express is an interesting one. I don't know if you dove into that one at all, Paul.
I looked at it, yeah.
Yeah, just yet. But the you know, the travel and entertainment segment, you know, as you can expect, was down 65% year
Huge.
Over year. That's yeah. kind of the that was just kind of the you know
of
the
course.
Number that kind of stuck out to me. But they have they do see. They kind of see a slower recovery, right? So I would, of course, the under promise, over perform could be here too, right? With how management a lot of times, right? It's about expectations. So if they can kind of make an easy hurdle in terms of a beat down the road, then they'll give you the chance if you let them. But they don't really see. You know, they see some of their earnings, you know, what they considered for 2020 will actually will end up being their 2022 number. So that's, you know, that's kind of disconcerting in terms of their pace of recovery. They see being, you know, much more cautious than other businesses we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, the stock was down on that. Yep.
Yeah, and they're very different than – you know, Visa and MasterCard, right?
Correct.
That we own.
Correct.
You know, different businesses to a certain extent. There's also
Visa and MasterCard are just transactional, correct? I mean,
they don't deal
with the lending aspect.
Right, and they have a big tech heavy
yep.
piece, right? So they've gotten into a lot of more mobile payments and those types of businesses. You know, we think of them as the symbol on some card in your wallet, but they're actually, you know, they were kind of on the forefront of some of the kind of PayPal style stuff and Square style stuff as well, right? So, you know, it, the more places you can swipe their card, right, the more beneficial it is for them. So that was a piece. 3M was another unique one, obviously, you know, and this kind of goes along the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it goes along the lines of best stocks now, right? So, you know, 3M, been a great business over the years, right? You know, just done a lot of innovative things for humanity as well. But in terms of, you know, I guess I would see this, you know, so, you know, COVID, right, masks, everything else, right? This should be kind of their, you know, big revenue growth, right, time period is kind of, you know, at least on the top line I would see, right, because you've got these new demands for some of their products. And, you know, they're up 5.8% year over year. Not bad for them, right? You know, it's a beat. But, you know, for investable companies that we're investing in, right, that's a, you know, those
doesn't meet the criteria.
Right, it just doesn't. No. It doesn't
5 year, we have a 5 year total return potential of 67% in the app.
Yeah, which is.
The PEG ratio is 1.88. It's a C minus. And it's ranked 3,441 out of 5,619 stocks.
Right.
So it's not going to be in our portfolios. No.
Yeah, it's not going to show up on the screen. Yeah. But it's one of these things to kind of look at. You know, from our perspective, where you know, like I said, good business, but it's just you know from an investability standpoint, right? It's just limited. In our opinion. On a go-forward basis, another one I like to look at here and there is Rockwell, and that's mainly because from I've had a handful of clients over the years that worked at Rockwell and automation, and from a manufacturing standpoint, I use it kind of as a bit of a bellwether, certainly in the more complex manufacturing space. And so
having a tough day, actually.
Yeah, and they and mostly they missed on revenue, so. Like I said, you know, earnings are one thing, and they're important. But you know, when you start missing on revenue, you know, it's hard to add earnings when your revenues are not going in the right direction.
Yeah, ROK down 6%, 245 and three quarters.
Yep, Well, that's we get that industrial production up around the U.S. Well, we'll be back for the second half of Best Stocks Now Radio and get into some more news of the day. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. With your host, I'm Barry Kite, here sitting in for Captain Bill Gunderson, who should be back in the studio tomorrow. And we have, of course, Paul Carlson here on the line, helping me, helping things out and move things along. And, man, now's, doesn't look like too much is happening, so... That's probably a good thing. I would imagine the market's kind of digesting some of these large contributors to the indices, and then we've got some big ones on tap for after the close today. So
Even the commodities are relatively quiet. I mean, crude oil is only down 10 cents at $52.66 the barrel. Gold down $2.30, $18.53 the ounce. Silver just up 12 cents at 25.60. And again, the 10-year, wow, it's even lower now on yield. It's 1.038. So yeah. Everything's pretty quiet.
Yeah. I mean, one thing moving's beyond meat. It looks like they're, they have about 33% the last time
Pepsi.
I saw it. Yeah, they're, they have a Beyond Meat has a deal with Pepsi, and they're going to do some drinks. I guess, are we making Beyond Pepsi? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the plan is. I do know the,
I think it's snacks, actually.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Cause I mean, I did see something that said with drink. And I'm like, you could, the onslaught that is on sugary drinks, just look at Coca-Cola and PepsiCo's growth prospects, right? They've been moving and, trying to continue to diversify those businesses. Away from sugar and corn syrup and everything else that's been involved in that fight, and it's kind of made, has become even more important, right, in terms of COVID. So, but the good seems like want to get into some positive news. I think we're looking at these earnings and looking at the guidance for 2021 and to kind of get a gauge of, just how far this bounce back, right, in world GDP is estimated, right? The market's already...
Some green shoots, yeah.
Yeah, and the market's already kind of, made the V recovery, right, and counting
right.
on essentially the economy to kind of make that same approach, so... we've got some economic news. If you have some of it in front of you, Paul, we can kind of go through each one. If we want to start, we'll start at the.
Yeah, I was struck by a few of them. Red book retail sales was up 3.9 versus prior of 2.2. So that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Probably mostly online, I would imagine. I didn't break it down. But.
Yeah, I haven't dove into that one, but yeah, that makes sense, right?
And then housing prices with these low interest rates, they continue to rise, up 9.5% for November. That's year over year. They were up 1% month over month. So, they're on fire, basically. Depending on your region, but that's the average across the country.
And the consumer confidence number actually came in at 89.3 versus 88.5 consensus. It was 87.1 prior, so moving in the right direction.
Right.
And it was actually revised lower. So the 88.6 number from last time was actually revised to 87.1. So in reality, we jumped 2.2 points, in that number. So that, as much as, we know folks are struggling, whether it's health or job, both, right? It's good to see. Some of these numbers, at least, moving in the right direction. Something else that kind of caught my eye was Delta plans to bring back 400 pilots.
The pilots, yeah.
Yep, signaling air travel optimism. I've had the pleasure to work with a number of Delta pilots over the years in planning relationships, and you know they've been through a lot, been through them with 08-09, some cuts in the pension, and then you know they bounce back, and they've had a couple of really nice contracts renegotiations since. And then of course you know you kind of hit this wall. So there's a lot of in that business, in air flight, right? There's been a lot of ups and downs, for no pun intended. But it's good to see some positive news of, just slowly getting back to normal. I don't think we're going to have something where it's just magically right one day, take off all the masks, right? It's gonna take a little time, and as we said, it's gonna be fits and starts and bumpy, a bit bumpy along the way. But I think it's worth highlighting some of the positive sides of some of these stories as well. Amazon expansion in Boston tech hub to create 3,000 new jobs, and I think those are high tech jobs. Whether it's programming, they're adding jobs across every different sector, every different educational sector, every facet of business and life. But looks like they're adding some big jobs there in the Boston area. So that's always good news for optimism. Also, we got U.S. consumers expect to spend more in the year ahead. That's according to the New York Fed, right? So that's part of that, right, is, it's going to be stimulus-based. But the other part is just, there's been a lot of pent-up demand, the classic wealth effect, right? The market's done well.
Market's up, your house is up,
Effect. As a planner, it's always easier to get, to get a saver to, it's always harder to get a saver to spend than a spender to save. Right. And so, the wealth effect, has that, of folks who've been, good stewards of their wealth for long periods of time. Right. And finally, do that house remodel, whatever. Right. In making that,
probably not taking the trip, but maybe doing a house remodel. Sure.
Yeah. Not the classic river cruise, right. The European river cruise that I like to throw out there that I've had a handful of clients take over the years. It's kind of a joke, but not exactly, but. Yeah, hopefully one day we'll get back to the whole river cruise day time period. So, we've also got some information in terms of some best stocks now. Etsy took off today. That was
thanks to Elon.
Yeah, thanks to Elon. He what did he buy? He bought a I believe he bought a
he bought a toy a for his dog.
Yeah, some kind of, it looks like the Martian. What is it from Bugs Bunny, right? So
okay,
So he bought a hat there. Said it was he loves Etsy, and then stock I think at one point was up 9-10% on that. So
right.
We'll take
it. Falling back, but yeah.
Some other interesting news that we highlighted in the Penn article on Seeking Alpha is the fact that Michigan. Their sports betting opened up as a state, and DraftKings actually got an upgrade from that because they're in the market, and also and they reiterate a buy rating on Penn. So Goldman Sachs kind of came to the same conclusion as us in terms of Michigan being a big piece for both Penn and DraftKings. Let's see what else in their news. Apple, people are continuing to increase the probability of an Apple car. So I don't know if that's iCar, Apple car, what have you. Everyone's making a car these days, apparently.
So that's 2024?
Arriving in 2024. Well, yeah. that'll be a year before the Gunderson Capital car comes out. I guess everyone will have a an electric car by then, right? So
and a SPAC will buy them out for $1 billion.
Yep, we'll commandeer
not Apple because they're already almost $2 trillion, right?
So. Yeah, Yeah, they went from one to two pretty quickly. Blink of an eye, almost. So
over two, yeah.
Yeah, I do see where Plug Power they bumped their 2021 billings outlook up. So that's
That's a great chart. Look at that.
Yeah,
$71 up 5.25% or 8% today.
Yeah,
a little nice little cup. Yep,
and
ready to break out probably.
Man, we'll the see. Key to this momentum, right, and this kind of ties into some of the GameStop stuff, right, is the reason for the momentum, right? One's an investment, one's a trade, right? And so, when you're seeing, companies where, beat raise, right, where you beat estimates and then, your raise guidance, right? Those are the healthy charts that we're building up, and those are the ones that we're trying to pick out and dive into, so. Well, we'll be back here for the last quarter of the day, moving fast, and we'll unveil the stock of the day and kind of take a peek and see what's on tap for tomorrow. And welcome back here to the fourth and final quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. I am Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, with our bond guru, Paul Carlson, wrapping up this Tuesday show.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's, stock of the day, and kind of apparent, just so happens, we'll cover Plug today, but and that's PLUG. We hold that in our emerging growth portfolio for full disclosure. But just a great stock that ties into kind of the whole electric vehicle trade. Certainly, that kicked off big in Tesla before that, but just took over the rest of the market in 2000 in 2020. So. We just want to kind of get to the backdrop in terms of what's changing. Of course, are we looking at a whole electric fleet of cars where every car is electric 5 years from now? No, but there's a many.
It might not be five, but there will be right. At some point because that's the mandate from many governments is that combustion engines, the sale of new gas cars is going to be illegal. So,
right.
And that's, I think, why, the CEO of GM said, we're going to be all electric at some point. And, because, just think about, scale,
mm-hmm.
you can't make both. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, especially if that a lot of your market for the gasoline cars are going to go away. So, that's the direction we're headed for sure.
You're exactly right, and that's kind of where we're looking at. And we get a lot of questions on Exxon, oil, right? BP,
BP just cut yeah,
kind of your fossil fuels, right? And so looking
at so BP,
look at how they're
investing. Cut all their almost from 700 down to 100. Their staff for
exploration team. So BP's
the exploration team, right?
Yeah.
They're disinvesting from their own industry, right?
So they're all they're all trying to diversify as quickly as possible, which also makes the case, right, for that move to electric vehicles, right? I mean, in the past, you remember the pushback that you would get from the big fossil fuel giants, right? And they would at that point, right? They had the power to wield. And, frankly, it was in their best interest to do so.
Sure.
It was at the time, it's in their shareholders' best interest to do so, right? It didn't,
sure.
It just didn't, the equation of air quality, this, that, and the other, right? That didn't, wasn't really part of the dynamic in terms of doing what was in the best interest of your shareholders at that time. And so
the problem is that, then Elon Musk showed them that, you can actually have a better car that's, it performs better than a gasoline car, first of all. Safer. I mean, all of it. It's better all
less
the way around. And then there's the environment on top of it.
Right.
So that's great.
Yep, and less maintenance. And so you look at BP, like you said, their oil exploration team, they just cut to fewer than 100, right? And so, like you said, going from 700 just a few years ago. And so that's, you know, you can see them, they're
and they're also making investments in these alt energy things like Plug.
And then you have and so Plug's up. You know, I think last time I looked, it was up roughly about 9% today. And I don't
know. 7% now. Yeah, 4.5 and 70-20. Yeah.
Yep. And so you know, one of the main things is, well, you mentioned, right? Plug Power, they bumped their billing outlook up, so their guidance is, you know, is going forward. And for them, they have a, you know, to me, you know, they have a lot of expectations. So, you know, in making a difference and actually, you know, surprising expectations is going to be important going forward. And the other thing is Shell today announced that they're going to buy the UK's largest electric vehicle charging network. So, you know, there's a, you know, there, you know, that kind of gives you a, you know, kind of a baseline in terms of how much, you know, some of these companies could be worth when they're changing hands, right? So you've got a baseline in terms of how much that deal was for. So, you know, that just shows you, you know, Shell's moving from, you know, they're doing it too. So they're all doing it. And they should. They're going
to
have, you know.
And back to the government side of things, think about that, you know, that Norway, you know, most of their, a lot of their, you know, revenue, their taxable revenue comes from the oil industry, right? And and they take that and turn around and invest in electric vehicles and the infrastructure, the charging and all that. And they're the same way that they're going to outlaw gasoline cars. So, you know, that's the trend.
And I saw, I also saw something where Biden just mentioned, you know, wanting to essentially turn over the fleet of U.S. vehicles, right, U.S. government vehicles over to over to electric. So it's, you know, it's something that's moving in that direction, and we don't see it stopping anytime soon. You know, it's just going to, you know, because it's going to peak. And, you know, you can't go too fast, right, because you should destroy entire industries too fast. And so, you know, it's just going, like you said, it's just going to be a transition of assets and then where that investment, you know, goes from one place to the other, right? You know, and your big losers are going to be your countries that are, you know, don't have a diversified economy, that are stuck straight on, you know, on oil production, right?
Kind of like your Venezuela, but
exactly.
It's already destroyed anyway. But,
but it takes all of the leverage right away from a country like Venezuela. But, yeah, you know, and Plug, you know, and we can go through the numbers, but as you know, and Bill's talked about it, we're, you know, we're big on Plug. It's just kind of you know, building out, you know, in this instance, right, we don't got to pick the car maker that makes the best car. You know, it's kind of that same same where we've been, you know, purchasing chip makers. We don't got to decide, you know, which phone.
Exactly,
the
one
right?
winner. No,
yeah.
No, we need to diversify.
Yep, you're playing, it's the picks and struggle approach, and that's what, you know, kind of Plug is here. You know, the real trick is, you know, how they get paid. So, you know, you want to kind of dive into it and figure out, you know, the revenue stream. And I think Plug's is much better the way they're set up, correct, Paul? I know me and you talked about this, I forget, versus their competitor, and the way they kind of, the other big one, I'm trying to think who the other big one is in there, but.
Well, there's EVgo and there's PlugShare and
but you know, their revenue stream and the way they're tied in, I think, is going to help them going forward. But
or ChargePoint,
you know,
that would be
a
one.
Lot of
yeah.
those. You know, a lot of those ideas, of course, you know, you can find on the newsletter. Follow us on Seeking Alpha.
Yeah.
Go to www.gundersoncapital.com and you can sign up for the newsletter. We've got contact us there. You know, give us a ring. Paul and I would be happy to schedule an appointment with you, let you know kind of, you know, what we do, kind of determine what's going on in your own financial life, and you know, see if we can
help.
And
help,
if worst comes to worst, we'll at least lead you in the right direction. So here to be a resource for everyone out there. And
and that number, Barry?
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got it right here. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-2378. Have a great day, everyone.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.